So, again, that's a 50,000 foot view, big time beef industry. But want to take a step back now. CAB, we run on a fiscal year of October through September. So we're getting ready to close off our books here in September and kind of give you a state of the union, I guess, in regards to where we are in regards to both product and supply as well as total product sales. As we just mentioned, our kill sizably down 1.3%. Now note that is a licensed kill. So that's not only United States here, but some Canada production numbers there, but also wouldn't include some of the folks that we necessarily don't have as a licensed facility. For instance, a Creekstone wouldn't be included in this number. So slightly understated relative to some of the USDA numbers. Identified numbers down 1.5%. Again, less kill. And then as you start to include some of those Canadian numbers, they would have a much lower percent black. One of the things that's exciting for us is we've seen that percent black number decrease for going on probably 16, 18 months. And a lot of that can be attributed, as we look at a lot of the association data, bull turnouts, obviously that number is continuing to increase. Our registrations continue to be high. So how's that percent black number going down? Well, I think we attribute a lot to, if we're going to keep a female back, the probability of her being a black-hided female is much, much higher than that calico female that you've kept around for 18 years just because she had a calf every year. We'll probably go ahead and get rid of her, keep that nice black heifer, and maybe not necessarily rebuild the herd at the same rate, but certainly keep those black, desirable females back. But nonetheless, starting to see that number flatten back off and increase. We've ran some numbers there internally where we've actually pulled out the dairy population of that, and that number could certainly be closer to 75% as you look at the total native kill versus some of those additional Mexican feeders, Canadian feeders, and also some of the Holstein influence there. But I guess the big thing that I want to drive home here is despite all these red numbers, despite the 50,000-foot view and knowing where the beef industry is, CAB and obviously feeders such as yourselves and ranchers have certainly come to answer the call. As we've seen our acceptance rate last year, 22.8%, certainly a very notable number, jumping by almost 2 points there to 24.4. We've had record acceptance rates this year. Cattle continue to grade extremely well. And I tell you what, it's kind of a chicken or the egg, but if we get more cattle in, we certainly can get a tremendous amount of that product sold. It's amazing some of the years that we've been able to put together, and it's truly been supply-driven. If we've got the supply, we certainly are able to realize that with the demand. So as you look, again, up nearly 6% in certified head because of that acceptance rate, despite being down in kill, despite being down or basically flat relative in our percent black number. So just really an exciting number there. And again, just goes to show supply. If you build it, they will come. Any baseball fans there, same with cattle. If we make them, we can certainly get them sold. Going over to the sales numbers, as we look at those, you can see where we were last year. This is fiscal year to date through July, so our books run just a slight bit behind. Obviously, tremendous increases there in terms of growth, up over 6% in pounds sold. Despite having an increase of nearly 6% of cattle, we've actually increased the total amount of pounds sold on a per-head basis. So realizing more of that that animal once it's certified, getting it into a box and getting it sold through a licensed channel. As you look at where those sales break down, in the past few years, we probably focused a lot on grinds. We focused a lot on ends just because there's only so much, only about 10 to 15% of that carcass comes from that middle meat, stuff that Chef John gets to enjoy. But as we talk in terms of where that product is left over, if you will, is really those end meats. And we've really seen a tremendous amount of growth in that category as well as grinds. Going into both prime and natural, prime's up nearly 15%. And again, I think this is very relative to what we've seen in terms of certifications. Certifications of prime cattle are up nearly 30%. So having a lot more prime cattle coming through the pipeline. Natural remains relatively flat with where it was previous year. As we look at a divisional breakout, and so we kind of, we've got a food service entity, a retail, international, and miscellaneous. And I think the exciting thing here is, you want to click one more time, is truly that change. As we look, we typically, last year, for instance, 811 million pounds, a great, fantastic year. The vast majority of that growth would have occurred at both international and food service. Retail was actually down last year. So typically, you know, as CAB goes, we don't typically have everybody firing on all cylinders at all points in time. You know, food service is doing well typically at the expense of retail. Retail is typically doing well at the expense of food service. It's just really dependent on where that customer is going. This is really an exciting year in the fact that we see retail up nearly 3% at the same time. Food service is up 6%. International has certainly been a rising star as we've seen access granted into Japan as we've continued to propagate this product across the country. Really seeing a tremendous amount of growth internationally as well. Miscellaneous, kind of some of those value-added products, up nearly 12%. So just a tremendous amount of growth in all segments. I highlight these because as we look at overall, you know, similar to 50,000-foot view of the beef industry, if we look 50,000-foot view of the beef industry relative to retail, that number would be very, very different. As we look at just where retail beef sales are today, we probably see that being closer to a red negative 3 to negative 6. As we look at food service, retail, or restaurant traffic is down nearly 2%, down sizably. Not only down in terms of traffic, foot traffic, but also down in sales. So really bucking the trend there as well. International, both Canada and Mexico are up sizably this year, while at the same time as we look at imports of both those countries, down double digits. Down double digits. So really, again, just showing the power of the brand, the power of quality. You know, again, as Chef Doherty talked about the passion, the desire for high-quality product. It's certainly there on the end user's perspective as well. So we talk about CAB sales on a month-to-month basis. This just kind of gives you an idea of where those sales are. October, obviously in the 68 roughly number. As you get here, I think there's a couple important things. The red bars indicate those were all-time record months. We've had 3 all-time record months this year. You know, it's really an exciting thing to be a part of. And again, I think it goes back to having that supply of cattle and being able to realize that demand that's truly out there. But as you look, both March, which most folks will tell you March is a very, very poor beef demand month. It's the poorest. We set a record, all-time record. Follow that up in May and June as big, obviously, spring grilling season demand really picked up. As we look August we're pretty excited about. We've got 5 weekends, which a lot of those sales occur over the weekend. Those shipments taking place there, obviously, leading into Labor Day. Right now, we kind of have a little calculation in place that would put our August number over 80 million pounds. First time we'll ever be over 80 million pounds could be realized this month. The exciting thing about that is I'm sure a lot of you have probably heard Brent Eicher's ultimate plan of the 2020 plan is that we need to be above 1 billion pounds. That's where we'd like to see this program. 1 billion pounds. I know John, a lot of board members in here, sent out an email to some of the board members of, you know, set an all-time record. You know, March, 76 million pounds. I think he got one reply that said, last time I checked, a billion divided by 12 was 83.3. We've got a ways to go, but we could see August getting close. August getting close. So pretty exciting numbers there. Pretty exciting numbers. All right. That's kind of our overview. Now I want you to kind of take a step back, and obviously we all walked in here with cowboy hats and boots on, certainly probably thinking about things going on the ranch at home. I want you to take a step back now and I guess take the boots off, take the hat off, and put on a frock. You're a meat man. You're going to work at a Price Chopper down the road here, a CAB licensee, one of our top fives. You're a meat manager, a meat director, and we've got all these things planned. And I want you to kind of think about what that world looks like. So as a meat director, meat manager, what you're tasked with is something not much different than the folks here in the room are tasked with. We've got to grow. Every single year we've got to grow, right? Well, these guys are tasked to not only grow volume, but also to grow in terms of gross profits. So not only do I need to sell more, I need to sell it at a higher margin. I got to sell it at a higher price, get more for that meat. Well, all the while, not only has CAB done some of the things that we've seen, but also, slip to the next slide there, thank you. we can see what beef has done relative to some of the other proteins. In 2000, beef was 7% higher than pork and 80% higher than chicken. I'm going to flip, there's another box. 2012, 35% higher than pork, 150% higher than chicken. Now again, we've taken our boots off. We're meat managers. We've got to grow sales at a higher margin. What are you going to do? Are you going to run a bunch of T-bones on feature? Chicken's awful cheap. Chicken's awful cheap. And we saw that this year. We saw both chicken and pork really replacing beef on feature. Saw chicken and pork gaining tremendous amount of market share because of its relative price to beef. Again, my task is to grow sales. I've got to get people in the front door. I've got to get people excited about coming to the meat case. That, whether that's a hot ground beef ad or a hot chicken breast ad, something's got to get them in the front door. And with prices like that, we certainly saw people moving towards chicken and pork. Also, you've got to consider the fact of where CAB is relative to choice. I'm Price Chopper down the road. I've got CAB certainly in my service case. You know, you see the butcher back behind that counter. But I also offer a select offering. You know, I've got to be all things to all people because I've got to compete with Walmart down the road. I've got to have a price point that's going to make those guys attractive to it. So where is CAB relative to choice? Where is CAB relative to select? And you can see these are the cutout spreads between those dating back to 08. Continues to increase in terms of the relative spread between CAB and choice. Your meat manager, pork, chicken, select, choice, CAB. What are we going to sell? How are we going to get people in that front door? I'll slip to the next slide. There you go. As we look, break those cuts down, that cutout in terms of the pieces and parts, you look at middle meats, obviously we see a tremendous amount of value in individual cuts growing in terms of their spreads to choice. You see the top butt, you see some of the tenderloin. Tenderloin back in 08 was selling at close to 55 cents different than choice. Today it's close to 85 cents. Doesn't sound like much, but remember what my goal is year on year. I've got to increase sales, increase margin. So if I've jumped 15 cents in my spread, I've got to either jump my spread to the end user 15 cents, but remember, I've got to grow GP, so I'm probably going to gain more like a dollar. More like a dollar. So as we've increased the price of beef, live cattle, as we've increased the price of choice, as we've increased the price of select, CAB has obviously grown incrementally relative to those. This is looking at end meats. End meats, we used to talk about to retailers that why wouldn't you sell a CAB end meat? CAB, you can buy for a pennies on the pound difference than a choice or a select product and have such a much more desirable eating experience. Why wouldn't we do that? Well, look where these numbers have gone as well. In order to support that wider spread that we've seen in that cutout, you know, more of that value's had to rely on an inside round, a bottom round flat, a chuck roll, and certainly ground beef. Ground beef's a category that we focused on, I don't know, Mark, 8-9 years ago, truly trying to grow that ground beef category, because as we look at the carcass utilization number, that 250 pounds, we know there's closer to 300 pounds of meat that we can get off that carcass, and the vast majority of that can go into a grind category. So let's focus on that, try and grow that category. And you can see there's obviously a tremendous amount of demand on that ground beef place different than we see in choice and select. So, as we just saw a little bit earlier, all that being said, our retail business is up 2.8%. How? Your meat manager. We just said chicken's cheap, pork's cheap, meat's expensive, beef's expensive specifically, and CAB is even more expensive than anything else. How have we grown? Well, we've grown by having great partners that realize the quality of product. You see here, this is Meijer, which is one of our bigger chains, our number one retailer, running $1.89 ground beef, CAB. I see a lot of folks that maybe do some shopping around here. When was the last time you saw a ground beef ad less than $2? It's been a while. It's been a while. It's just like the price of gas. When was the last time we saw gas under $2? Yeah. It's been a while. I think it was when I got my license. It has been a while. This Buck 87 ad. I don't know how many folks get truly an appreciation for how much business is done on feature activities. I certainly didn't before I got to CAB. I was a dumb college kid. Roman noodles were great, you know, Hot Pockets. I don't care what's on feature. I just need to get something cheap. Well, there's obviously a lot of folks in here probably look at those features, right? Maybe you determine where you're going to go shop. Am I going to go to Walmart or am I going to go somewhere else based upon what that feature is? You know, Store at Home, Tuesdays and Wednesdays, they've got milk at $2.59. I go there, and while I'm there, I'm probably going to go ahead and pick up all my other groceries, right? Those features really drive business. Front page features drive about 75% of the business at retail. 75%. We talk turn business or just everyday business, minimal amount of business is done like that. And a lot of you guys can relate to it. How many sales of females or bulls, etc., do you have in between sales? Not many, right? Maybe one or two here or there. It's those sales, those auctions, where you realize there's a tremendous amount of your revenue. Same here. Except they do it on a weekly basis. I bet you guys wish you could do that too, right? Yeah. Buck 87 across 205 stores. Anybody have any idea how many pounds of meat that equilibrates out to? A lot. It's about 70 truckloads is what we help put them together. 70 loads of CAB ground beef. 70. Semi-loads about 40,000 pounds. You guys know that from shipping cattle probably. 40,000 pounds. So I think it was well over 1 million pounds, obviously, or right there at my math. I should have ran that before I got up here. But nonetheless, a huge, huge feature that we saw taking place there. And that's really what we've provided a tremendous amount of focus on, is making certain that not only beef is represented in the front, but CAB. We need to get more CAB ads, and that's certainly what we've made a conscious effort at, is not only tracking ads, but how can we influence those ads? How do we get this a buck 87 ad to get drive that kind of volume? How are we more profitable to you as that end user? Remember, you've got your frock on now. You've got that, I've got to grow sales and I've got to grow margin. You think they grew margin on a buck 87? They lost money. They gave that away. But that was a company direction trying to get more people in the room. Now, there's other instances, obviously, where we can make them money and still drive volume, and that's certainly the balance. Today, we see our retail industry certainly has progressed in terms of what we once had. If you want to go and flip to the next slide there, Scott. We've got sirloin steaks featured at $7.99. Based upon what we bring in the back door and what percent of those we ultimately get as steaks, at $7.99 probably made me 35%. I had to throw some in the waste bucket. But I've kind of got this mystery meat over here, the stuff that I trimmed off that, you know, is just kind of bonus. Those trimmings off the steaks and different pieces that I put in kind of my little slush fund, if you will, and probably go ahead and stick that into ground beef, makes good ground beef, but don't account for it. You know, I don't have very much of it today because the industry has truly moved to a boxed beef type of segment. So we look, some of you guys in here maybe longer in the tooth might remember these days, right? Hanging beef, swinging beef. There was once upon a time where the butcher in the back room had carcasses hanging back there and knew how to cut them. Today, they just get in. If you want to flip to the next slide, that's what it looks like. Bunch of boxes, right? IBP kind of came in, revolutionized the industry. We're going to sell boxes. If you want 5 boxes of ribs only, we'll sell them to you. We're also, as we do that, we're cutting those to trimmer and trimmer and leaner, trying to get, you know, become more relative to you as the end user. But the problem is that product you're cutting off the outside, once upon a time I got to put in my ground beef and sell and make a little bit more money for. And we see folks losing out on that product that ultimately the packer has in his backyard and is able to realize. So just, again, the industry has kind of shifted its focus there. Today at retail, one of our biggest focuses in the way that we're trying to increase our relative value to these guys is trying to help these guys learn how to cut meat with a calculator. Help them understand where the value is, what works best in their individual business. And it's really a challenge because obviously, like I said, we go down the road to Price Chopper. They maybe have a certain system that they utilize. Travel a little bit up the road over to a Price, or a ShopRite rather. They certainly have a different system there. But trying to become a bigger and bigger piece of their relative business and help them understand how to cut that product, to understand what their true product cost is. If I buy a strip at $7.99, what really is my product cost after I cut it up, throw some of the fat away? Is it still $7.99? No, it's maybe more like $8.50 if I'm only getting about 75% of that product and throwing the rest in the bone barrel. So what is that? What do I have to get? A lot of these guys are working off of very old numbers or maybe don't even know this. You know, up in our neck of the woods, we've got a great retailer. And we ask them, how do you price your middle meat? Well, we go next door to the guys down the road and see what they have it priced at and price a dollar higher. You laugh, but it's truly what's going on. And in doing so, knowing that, again, 75% of my business is driven by that front page feature, that $1.99 ground beef, that got me in the front door. That moved 70 loads. Well, what have we done now if we've got a chuck roll? Chuck rolls used to sell for, say, $2.99. That was an aggressive front page feature. $2.99 chuck roll. Today, it's $3.99. Not only because prices got a little bit higher, but also I maybe got a little bit lazy, as Chef Doherty talked about. A little bit lazy in some of my practices. Forgot how to cut meat with a calculator. Don't know what my true product cost is. And ultimately priced myself higher than I really needed to be. And that, whereas that $2.99 front page feature might have moved 20 loads of meat, $3.99, I moved closer to 6 or 7. Really trying to help these guys understand how to move volume and still make money. Understanding yields, credits. Again, that mystery meat, that little bit of scraps that we kind of just put over in a barrel and then we put into ground beef and call it, you know, just the bonus. You know, it's bonus. Well, if we figure that into our calculations, we can realize a higher gross margin by selling it as truly what that value would be to replace it. You know, if I've got a 10-pound barrel that I'm going to make into ground beef, I don't have to buy an extra 10 pounds of ground beef from Tyson. So that's a cost saving. So I can go ahead and not only share that with you to get you a better price, but also realize more volume on my side. Some of the things we also, if you go back one, I got just a few more. Shadow pricing. You know, we talked about the difference between choice and CAB continuing to increase. One of the things we work with is pricing them side by side at relative pricing. If you're putting CAB or putting a choice feature at $3.99, put CAB right next to it at $4.29 and let the customer decide if they want to trade up for higher quality. Signature grinds. You know, we saw what grind premiums have done. You know, how many people's mouth was watering? Chef Doherty talked about that prime CAB dry aged burger. Yeah, mine was. I told him, I said, man, I don't know if anybody got too excited about the Italian shoes, but I think people got pretty excited about that ground beef. Signature grinds absolutely have become a big, big piece. Looking at folks trying to maybe utilize specific cuts, briskets, different things of that sort. And obviously promotions, some of the things that we work with them on, and also just putting front page features on. This is kind of an example of, again, where we've been, where we're at today. You've got a top round there at left that would have been, you know, what we considered extra trim versus a block ready. Well, where'd all that fat and some of that trim go? Well, the packer went ahead and probably put it into his grinds, whereas once upon a time that was being put into the retailer's grinds. So again, lost value. And obviously, this is at a higher price per pound than this is, isn't it? So if I cut this into a bunch of roasts and say my yield's 90%, over here I'm 85%. But say my spread of cost was closer to 50 cents. Did I win or did I lose? That's where we're trying to work with these guys to distinguish what their true product cost is, that end product. What did that really cost? You can go ahead and skip this one. This is an example just of where those pieces and parts come from. Again, sirloin steaks out of that top butt, 65% of it. And look at cap steaks, trim. This would be the piece that a lot of people are missing, that 9.5%. Of the trimmings that they're not figuring back in that can certainly influence pricing. Talk about front page feature, and again, this is just a great example of somebody, again, down the road, Price Chopper. I'm sure, Phil, your family probably shops at Price Chopper from time to time. Buy one, get one. That's a really big drive, and this is certainly one where we had worked with these folks in trying to get a greater grasp of what their true product cost was, and could you do a buy one, get one, and still make money? And they did, and I think they ended up buying about 15 loads of product on this. So it's really, really important, again, to work with these guys and help them to understand that. Some other features that we'll scroll through here really quick that we work with, Seven Steaks of Summer. You know, just another promotion that these guys can drag onto and put their drop their logo in there. American Summer, some of the, again, stuff that gets you excited. You know, we heard Chef Doherty talking about that ground beef, and that got you excited. These pictures get you excited to buy ground beef or buy a steak? Absolutely, absolutely. Different. We talked about case allocation. This is one, another one here in New York that I believe your dinner tomorrow night came from, Fred the Butcher, and that's what his shelf looks like. Pretty dedicated, certified Angus beef for certain. This is an example of some signature grinds and how folks are certainly utilizing that. This brisket burger. Tell you what, if you can find a brisket burger, I'd buy it. It is good stuff. Good stuff. Some of the things that I'll close off here shortly. I know I'm running slightly over time here, Scott. I apologize. But some of the challenges that CAB has. You know, again, you guys obviously, you know, you were the end user. What about CAB? What about CAB? Some of the things that we run into is specifically here in the East Coast. We've got a tremendous amount of licensed partners here in the East Coast. You know, we had, say we've got a new chain approaches us that happens to be in Albany. They've got two stores in Albany, 50 stores somewhere else. But those two stores in Albany directly compete with a Price Chopper that we already have here. How do we handle those? Well, okay, two stores isn't that bad, but what about 15 stores? You know, that's, say, 7, 8 million pounds of new business. Do we just walk away from that? We stick with, you know, as they say, stick with the girl that brought you to the dance, right? There's a lot of challenges there. As we look at the West Coast, some of the challenges we have there is we don't have that many licensed partners. They're dominated by the big chains. You know, CAB has really been extremely successful based on small, independent, regionally owned chains. Kind of that anywhere from 20 stores to 150 stores is really our bread and butter. But as you start to get out west, you start to be dominated by the Safeways, the Krogers, the big banners that we really just don't work that often with, because if they wanted to bring CAB in, they'd want it across the entire country. Again, we'd run into the same issues that we have already today. Some of the challenges we face is with licensee leadership changing. You know, got a great relationship with a partner. We're in their business, obviously, working with them on some of their feature activities, helping them to understand how to utilize product to get a lower cost per pound, drive volume, and then he ups and leaves and goes to the competition. The guy they bring in is from a Kroger, doesn't know anything about CAB, and we start back at square one. Some of the challenges that we face. So you can see here, this is a map of what our licensed retailers look like. A lot up here in the East Coast, not so much here in the West, and that's certainly a focus of ours. We've actually just licensed 4 different distributors on the West Coast to help to alleviate some of this issue, but it's tough. Because you don't get the 125 stores, it's more like 3 stores, 4 stores. Very, very small in terms of numbers. All right. Certainly got a section on food service here, but I believe Mr. Palmer is going to cover that as well as I could. So, you know, one of the things I want to leave you with is just, again, obviously we know where the beef industry is. We know that it's gotten extremely pricey for product. We know, obviously, it's not been a cakewalk in terms of the feeder sector, the ranching sector. Obviously, you guys have been struggling as well. But what I can tell you is, as we make more CAB, certainly we're able to get it sold, getting it out to end users. Just the demand for CAB has never been stronger, despite what these pricing spreads have been. And just, you know, certainly thank you for everything that you do. And certainly, you know, we, again, back to passion, I think you won't find 125 more passionate people to go out and sell certified Angus beef to represent you. It's just a really exciting thing to do that we get to wake up every morning and are blessed to do. So I thank you very much, and have a great day.